What's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William, the Opinion Update.
And I am positive Chuck Buckler.
We are coming at you on a classic Twitter Tuesday.
Dude, these are so classic.
For the uninitiated, we come at you live from at Locked On Clips every Tuesday around 1:30 Pacific.
Nah, you know, what are you going to do?
You know, we've been pretty consistent lately, so you're welcome. Anyways, got a heck of a show lined up for you today. We're going to kick things off with kind of a group report card.
The Fringe guys, kind of.
Yeah, it's like splitting the check of a report card.
Perfect.
I would say.
Yes.
We're going to run down for you Sindarius Thornwell's season, Jonathan Motley's season, Angel Delgado's season, little guy named Jerome Robinson's season,
Ty Wall's
season.
There's a bunch, man.
So we're going to open things up with that, and then we're going to be taking questions from you guys live on Twitter. Thank you to everybody who sent some in beforehand. If you're ever unable to catch a stream or would just like to ask us a question, fire those over to at Locked On Clips, at Will Updike, at Charles Mockler. We will get back to you.
Yeah, we got phones. I was DMing with a guy.
In a timely and efficient manner.
I was DMing with a guy who might be watching right now, Step Back Tree. We were talking last night after the Durant injury, which of course is going to infect our free agency stuff, which we will get to.
Did you say infect?
It might infect it, dude.
Dang.
The poison. The poison of injuries. But yeah, let's get into these player recaps, I guess. But first, want to give a quick shout out to Thomas Urban.
Thank you, Thomas.
I hope everyone there who was watching the game last night got to see that injury on 70 TVs. If you want to watch something like that, there's a bunch of beers. There's a U-Pour floor. Was it 50 different beers?
Something like that.
Something absurd.
Go get some beers. Could be 100. Who knows?
Shout out Thomas Urban. All right, let's get down to this recap. So this is a big one this week.
Yeah.
I kind of just started with like the guys who played the least and then ramped up the guys who played the most minutes.
I think that your estimation is already incorrect then.
Is it?
Yeah.
Sindarius played the least, right?
He played more minutes than Delgado or Motley.
Five? They had 7 minutes a game.
Oh, I see. Less games. I'm thinking cumulative minutes.
Oh, yeah. No, those don't exist for these guys. So the first one we're down is, I would say, pod favorites in Darius Thornwell.
Absolutely.
We were both really high on the Thorn God last year.
Yeah, he did a pretty respectable job. Yeah. He shot the ball fairly well. Never had the greatest handles, but could put the ball in the deck and was a great defender. Still is a great defender. He gets used. We talk about it all the time in these kind of like
weird
utility belt situations. Where you just need to stop.
Like an inbounds play.
Or like an inbounds or something like that. You just you plug in Sindarius and, you know, it usually turns out all right.
He got a steal once. I actually looked it up. He had 4 games where he logged less than 10 seconds of playing time.
Nice.
Not too bad. He's a guy whose minutes fell pretty drastically from the 17-18 season to the 18-19 season.
Absolutely.
He was getting 16 minutes a game last season, down to a cool 5 this year. He put up 1-1-1. He only started 1 game. That was against the Pacers right after the deadline. 30 minutes. He had 5 points, 3 boards, 2 assists, 5 steals.
That's not bad.
So, I mean, the defense is definitely there.
As many steals as points? I mean, dude, could you hope for more?
I mean, what else do you want? The biggest issue, I think, for Sindarius this year that we noticed was his 3-point percentage dropped.
Yeah.
From definitely. 37% to just 27, or to, excuse me, just 20%.
For sure. And, I mean, a lot of that is going to be due to a rhythm thing. Sindarius obviously carried a much heavier load last year. And then due to Patrick Beverley being healthy, due to Shea asserting himself in the starting lineup there pretty quickly, plus the guarding of Hugh must not be named.
We won't talk about that guy.
definitely chipped away the possible available minutes. I don't know what to really expect with him. So I guess as far as grade goes, this one is
almost an incomplete.
I'm going to say this one is probably for me another incomplete.
Yeah. We have him for one more year.
Yeah.
Which I don't think he gets packaged with anything because I'm just not really sure what his value is.
Yeah, I don't really know either. If you're looking for a defensive guy who can guard 1 through 3 pretty competently, I feel like that's a good pickup.
For
and,
sure.
If there was a like diminished need for him to score and he could really just kind of cover holes.
That's a good call.
Defensively, I think he could be really useful there.
Yeah.
And right now, like just the way that our bench is kind of getting fortified, assuming that we are able to run back at least everybody from last year and maybe get some more people.
Let's hope
I don't really see any more playing time for him being carved out here.
Yeah, it seems like a similar kind of like 5 minutes per game couple of random stops here and there.
For sure.
That was Sindarius Thornwell. Shout out to the Thorn God. Then we have Jonathan Motley.
Another pod favorite.
Another pod favorite. Acquired basically in a trade for cash from the Mavs.
Yeah.
Second year player. Everyone watching this knows probably about the Free Motley movement, which
definitely.
We started, which
Free
was fantastic.
Motley, more Motley.
Yeah. Tons of energy. The dude is an absolute energy guy.
Absolutely.
That's what he brings. Matt Chong on the stream is saying, never forget, Sindarius locked up LeBron against the Cavs last year. Shout out Sindarius.
Somebody also brought up a rather sad Sindarius moment, which is the inbounds with Ben Simmons.
Oh, yeah, we know what. Nothing yeah, but positivity
on,
today,
slander,
guys.
This isn't a slander cast.
I would describe Jonathan Motley as he kind of looked like a horse learning to walk sometimes. He was so fast. He wanted to be ahead of where he was.
I would say not quite that because he was like so... He had so much energy, like he was on like a hair trigger.
Yeah, dude.
I guess I generally think of something learning to walk would be a little bit more tentative.
That's true.
Opposite.
Yeah.
It was the absolute opposite of that.
So he did most of his damage in the G League, which I think everyone was pretty kind of expecting and pretty psyched on.
Yeah.
He put up 25 and 10 on the G League.
G League player of the year.
Almost. Was he? No.
No.
The next guy actually
he
was
my G League player of the year.
Yeah. And then for the big guys, when he played, he averaged 7 minutes per game, and he averaged 4.5 an assist. I was pretty psyched on him in the preseason.
Yeah.
But it's a guy who he's another tweener.
Absolutely. So somebody already chimed in on the stream. A lot of energy, kind of a compact size, a little bit like a Montrezl Harrell. The advantage I see of Motley is I think he seems a little bit more range ready.
Range ready. Damn.
In terms of just like stretching
I
out,
like that
stretching
term,
out his scoring a little bit.
Get range ready. That's tight.
I also think that he could plug, like once again, if you use him in a lineup with Harrell, he could plug some of those defensive kind of holes and then, you know, space the floor ideally and then kind of let Trez work in the pick and roll on that second unit. So, they are overlapping guys. They are tweener guys, but I do see scenarios in which you could maybe work it out, but that just depends on where we go with lineups, obviously, after the free agency.
And his tweener situation is weird because he almost needs more size to play the five.
100%.
Or a better shot to play the four. So it's 100%. Like, pick which one you want to do. I kind of hope
that's
going to
be a recurring theme for both these guys.
I kind of hope he goes with the shot.
Yeah.
I hope he gets range ready. No contract for him next year. I kind of hope we sign him again with a qualifying offer or something and just spend some more time in the G League.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of liked the minutes he played this year. It wasn't necessary, but if he can develop that shot, no reason he
looks
can't cut out a little bit more time.
Looks great on the bench, too.
He's a good
bench
guy.
He's always ready to hop up. He's high-fiving
people. He's dapping
people
up.
He's got great energy. And that, you know, that cannot be underestimated.
Unstatable, some would say. The next guy was maybe my favorite preseason player. Angel Delgado, Seton Hall legend.
Yeah.
Had an absolutely fantastic rookie year. Won the G League Rookie of the Year. He averaged 18 and 15 in the G League, 6 games of 20 and 20, had a 40 and 20 game, and set the G League record for rebounds in a game with 31.
Yeah.
So, not a lot of time with the first team.
No.
But I don't think that was really expected.
No.
Right? He's another in-between guy like you just said. Averaged 1, 2, and 0 in the 7 minutes per game he played.
Yeah.
Another guy who, if he got a shot, he could be pretty nice in a small ball lineup, I would say.
I don't know.
He's small.
He to me is the hardest path out of like he and Motley to breaking into the starting lineup.
Okay. I can see that.
I think that his rebounding is like a definite plus, and maybe in super small lineups it could work. I just don't know why you would go with him at the five instead of Harrell.
Yeah.
Or why you would go with Delgado at the four instead of Green or
it's almost like it'd be like a lesser It'd be like a second string small ball lineup, which I don't know how that would help us at all. I'm trying to figure out, I guess if he really worked on his outside shot.
Delgado.
True. I guess if he worked on his outside shot, but that's not his game, so I don't think he's going to do that.
Yeah.
No disrespect to him at all, but.
I don't know. I mean, I guess it could work. Maybe you move Green to the three, have Delgado at the four, just kind of like boxing people out and grabbing boards. And then Harrell at the five.
Gallo at the five, maybe.
I don't know. Gallo at the five.
But he's another tweener guy, so it's like we have a lot of conundrums, I feel like.
Definitely.
On these fringe guys, which is part of the reason why they're fringe guys. Next, more of a high-profile player, Jerome Robinson.
Absolutely.
Bit of a surprise lottery pick for some of us, I think.
Yeah, we've talked about it before on here, but it took me by surprise.
If you had him on your draft board, kudos.
Yeah. somebody that the organization is clearly, like, really high on.
Yeah.
They had him shut down workouts after he came and worked out with us. Gallo's still been MIA from all of his Clippers summer content. Need something more Gallo.
Something to keep an eye on. But Robinson, he played the majority of the season. Another guy in the G League. Numbers don't necessarily pop out like Motley's or Delgado's.
Oh, somebody's asking on the live stream. Sorry to interrupt. Somebody's asking, could Motley work his way into a three in a really big lineup if he worked on his range?
Dude, in a towering lineup with like Motley.
I love the idea.
Motley Gallo Zoo.
This is the first time that this has ever been posed to me. It's the first time I've ever pondered it. I love the idea.
So we got Motley Gallo Zoo, right?
Something like that.
Whew. Yeah, you got Shea with the length.
Yeah.
I mean, Sham with the length. Dude, then, yeah, that's a big ass lineup. I like that. Jerome Robinson's numbers in the G League, back to that, 19-4-3 in 32 minutes.
Really
again,
great.
Really great. Most important stat, though, 40% shooting from three on 7 attempts per game in the G League.
Yeah.
That's what we drafted him for. I think they see a
who's the primary ball handler when Jerome Robinson's playing in the G League?
I have no idea.
All right, well.
I apologize. I know he handles the ball a little bit, but I don't know who is the number one guy. For the Clippers, first team, very modest numbers, 3-1-1 in 9 minutes. Only 31% from three, but that seems definitely like a rhythm issue.
Also too small of a sample size.
Yeah, it's like, how do you think his rookie year went?
It just depends. If I'm going from my assessment of what I thought he would be from like the start of the year, not as good as I had hoped.
For sure.
But if you keep in mind the context of the injury that he had, as well as the full roster of guards that we had.
Yes.
And
the fact that no one got hurt pretty much in the backcourt, all season for the most part.
Yeah, and
for significant time.
How healthy everybody stayed and how really consistent Shea was able to be and getting Sham, at the trade deadline. Really, if you take in the context of all of that, I would say par for the course.
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, the numbers in the G League are very, encouraging. That 40% is fantastic. He played good defense. That's what we kind of brought him in for. I think they maybe wanted like a diet Klay Thompson, or that's the mold of what he can grow into.
Solid bogey, I would say.
Okay.
Season.
For sure. I'll give that.
He's like one over par.
Yeah, that was a chill bogey. I'm fine with it. And I'm excited for next year, too.
Definitely.
Depending on the moves, which we're going to talk about in a bit.
And he's another guy. I've said this about Shamit before, who's obviously further along in development, but like, he's a guy who can define his niche so readily that I feel like
for sure.
Once he gets into that spot, it's going to be easier for him to hit his peak just because of like what's going to be asked from him on the offensive and isn't as high or cerebral as what's going to be asked of somebody like Shea or obviously like Lou Will.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think the other thing is just going to be continuing to improve defensively. He started working into at least a net neutral or competent defender.
For sure.
In terms of getting himself into space. He definitely has some solid physical tools, especially to be able to deal with like mismatches and post-ups and that sort of thing. Just due to his thickness, if you will.
And he has the number one thing he needs as a defender, which is hustle.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which
so
is great.
I'm excited for him next year. Overall grade, I would say, I don't know, C.
C plus, Final rundown is belated birthday boy, Ty Wallace.
Hey, happy birthday yesterday.
Happy birthday yesterday, Ty. Another guy who dropped off 3-2-1 in 10 minutes per game this year when he played, down from 28 minutes a game last season.
Oh, yeah.
This was, we re-signed him. Mm-hmm. We matched the offer sheet from the Pelicans.
Mm-hmm.
Never seemed to crack the rotation because of the young guys. Can we even grade his season?
No.
I think we were both kind of frustrated by the matching of the offer sheet and then just never playing him.
Yeah. It's kind of hard because all these guys like have... they're like pieces of a whole. Like it starts to when you look at like where their deficits are and where their skills are, it kind of starts to make sense why it was like, oh, that makes sense
we
that
need
these
this
guys
guy and this guy
could kind of work together last year in a you're reaching in the toolbox for whatever you've got to screw down a screw? I don't know. I don't know what you'd be randomly reaching for in a toolbox to save a situation.
You're playing tool roulette.
Yeah, something like that. So it kind of makes sense because like he's not as good of a defender as Sindarius.
He can score. He just
can't
really
shoot. He can kind of score.
Yeah, the shooting is the issue.
He can't really shoot. He can carry the ball.
I think it was Matt Chong who said he kind of plays like a football player, where it's just a straight line.
Yeah.
it's a straight line to the basket.
He doesn't have like the highest athleticism or like he doesn't have like a whole lot of tricks or anything up his sleeve. But I do still think there's promise there. I don't know. I like it's really hard, I guess, out of all these guys. To me, it's like Ty, Sin, and Angel have like the hardest time like breaking into any sort of consistent minutes with this team.
100%. We still have him under contract for another year. I kind of think he gets moved in some way. I don't know for what. Obviously not the marquee piece, but I think he might get moved.
For sure.
That
he is like a good piece, and like if you are a team that has space and time to develop players, I mean, you still got like a pretty nice players there under
for
the
no
hood.
Money
it just
too.
Needs time.
Yeah, and Wallace is making very little money, so he could be an asset in that sense.
Definitely,
that's been our wide rundown of the rest of the Clippers. Coming up after this, we got a bunch of questions for Twitter Tuesdays. I want to give y'all a reminder one more time to go check out Tom Zurbin. 40 feet away from Staples Center.
Mm-hmm.
You could leave the Staples Center, go back, I don't know, hang out. Maybe work at the Staples Center. Get a drink during your shift. Who cares? One more time, that is Tom Zurbin at LA Live. So welcome to Twitter Tuesdays.
Hey, we're here.
This week sponsored by Hotels.com. They also sponsor our Love, Marry, Kill app. Check out Hotels.com for when you need
that.
A room. So obviously, most of what we're going to be talking about today is KD to the Clippers, that whole injury situation.
For sure.
Pretty much every question we got was that.
For sure.
Clipper Kyle, at Clipper Kyle, excuse me.
Oh, in case anyone doesn't know, Kevin Durant was injured last night.
Oh, man.
Aggravated the probably torn Achilles.
Heartbreaking, I would say.
Awful.
In terms of total context, one of the more just rough injuries I've seen live at a sporting event.
I just can't think of any injury that not only affects the player, but has such wide,
the whole league,
league sweeping kind of, implications.
It was just insane, and we're not really going to talk about the blame.
Yeah,
I think it was a no-win situation last night.
No-win situation. Obviously, the Raptor fans cheering when he went down.
It wasn't all of them. There's dickheads in every. You take 100 people, there's going to be 10 dickheads.
I will say, sometimes in the heat of a moment, it is hard to separate like reality or that this is like real people or life
point.
Versus like the heat of the moment game thing. Obviously, I'm in no way condoning the behavior. It was awful.
Terrible.
But I do think like sometimes, especially when you're so close to something,
it's hard.
You tend to lose context of what's around you.
Absolutely.
So I will say that. And I will say that it probably wasn't everyone, but also pretty shitty behavior.
Terrible behavior. So from Clipper Kyle, does KD's injury and Kawhi's possible championship affect the Clippers' offseason plans?
Yes.
Yes.
On both fronts.
On both fronts. KD, I have to imagine, stays.
So here's the thing. Here's the one wrinkle I'll throw in there.
Yeah. We're open for wrinkles.
Is that I think that if you're a team that would have trouble locking down a bigger superstar, like you could go the Kawhi route and you could say, hey, we're going to pay you whatever max or
$30 million
or even like 2 years or, you want to do 2 years, we'll do whatever.
Yeah.
You dictate your health. The only thing that we're worried about is your health. We're not worried about you getting back to this team. We're just worried about you getting back. And we'd love to have you as an influence just for our franchise, just for our players.
The culture.
And hey, when you're better, you don't want to sign here or you don't want to come back, no hard feelings.
Dude,
I think that's a thing that could sway.
That's a swing
that
I like.
That's a thing that could swing KD. Who could do that? There's a bunch of franchises that are pretty far away from winning.
The Knicks could give him his own TV show. Think about how much time he'd have to do the show if he was rehabbing.
Yeah.
I love that idea, actually.
I mean, I just think if you look at what happened in Toronto, it's like, well, man, that's the best pitch you could ever make to a free agent. You go after somebody who is injured, and you hope for the best. It's a big swing, but
dude,
it could pay off.
I That's the first time I'm hearing that plan. I like that plan if you're one of those teams. If you can guarantee, like, you can have input on the medical staff. Mm-hmm. Like, you can do whatever you want.
No, if you're the Phoenix Suns, say, hey, we'll give you a max.
We'll give you a one-on-one.
Or like, what do you want? How many years do you want? How much money do you want? Who do you want to work on the team? Who do you want to be the new coach?
Now, here's the question.
Do you like my tie? I can take it off. whatever you want.
Here's the question. Do we see the Clippers offering something like that?
No.
No, I don't think so either.
I just think that right now, especially after that run in the playoffs, we've tasted blood in the water, and I just don't think that we're going to go back to nursing people back to health unless, you know, like unless they're one of our guys that we already roll with and they need to get better.
Someone saying Wes Matthews tore his Achilles and still got a max. Yeah, that was then. This is now. I think that was that Step Back Tree. Step Back Tree and I were talking yesterday on Twitter. We both felt kind of bad because we were like, it's one of the first things I thought of when KD went down was what contract will Clippers offer him now?
Yeah.
And I don't think the Clippers, like you mentioned it, we're not going back to that old Clippers curse. This front office
we
knows,
have too much experience.
Knows what used to happen here. And Ballmer wants his own leg. Ballmer wants to be the owner who changes the culture.
Absolutely.
That's not changing the culture.
Absolutely. So either way, Ballmer for us on both accounts. I also
but
think
also,
on, I also think know, on the other side, after seeing a player who's like one of the best in the league playing for what was thought to be one of the best organizations in the league go down like that, I think that that also pushes Kawhi to stay in Toronto.
Yeah, he has no reason to. He's got it pretty good in Toronto right now.
He's just got it good, and you know he's said that like the biggest thing to him is just having a long, healthy career. And now whether that means that he'll sign long term or if he'll sign a 1-1, I think that this Durant injury could also change how we how players do 1-1s.
I like that
because you know like we haven't you know all these guys that sign 1-1s we've pretty much thought of as being invincible. You know Durant hasn't missed a whole lot of games. You know, he has had issues.
But this is like...
This is on a whole other level. You know, LeBron, obviously, outside of this season, never had issues. So it feels like, you know, it didn't ever feel like you were putting that much on the line to bargain on a 1-1. And now I think that's completely different.
Yeah, someone just had a great take on the live. It said, almost feels like Christmas is canceled given the free agency after that KD injury.
Yeah.
I kind of agree with that. Another question just popped in my head. So he had the injury, the calf injury, before the harder, the more devastating injury last night. Would you guys still have wanted to sign him even knowing that calf injury, everyone kind of assumed it was an Achilles issue?
Of course, because
you
know it wasn't
torn. Yeah, because it wasn't torn. Okay. All right, someone's talking about working as a director for Nike. He heard if Kawhi wins a chip this year, 100% he's gone. You heard it here first. Someone knows someone who works for Nike who Kawhi's not on.
I have thought and said the same thing pretty much the whole time. Like, if he wins a chip, what else is there to do? Like, why stay? I just think that seeing a player go down like that in front of your eyes, it's got to make you rethink your career in like a really real way.
Yeah. In the middle of game five of the finals.
And maybe the Clippers, maybe somebody else are able to sway Kawhi in a way where we think that we can manage his health better or manage his time better. But it goes back to like the blood in the water thing or whatever I was saying earlier. Like, this organization really isn't trying to babysit somebody right now. And no. Like, while I'm not saying that we won't take care of people, I don't know that it would be in our best interest. Yeah, I don't know that it would be in our best interest to tie up 30% of our cap for a person who can't play.
100%. Another one here. This is a kind of a Woj bomb and another question we got. This question was from Clipper Kyle. He said, do the Clippers get involved seriously in the AD sweepstakes, even though he said the Lakers and Knicks are his preferred destination?
So...
Oh, sorry. Woj,
no, you go for it.
The Woj issue, the Woj tweet that's pertinent to this is Griffin has said for AD, he wants an all-star, a young player with all-star potential, and 2 first-round picks.
Yes.
We have all of those things.
We do.
However you want to slice it, we don't have to give up Shea. If you like Sham, whatever. We have it. The trade is also going to happen before the draft. So it's going to be in the next, 9 days?
Yeah.
Something like that. Do you think we still dangle a trade off from there, even though he wants to go to the Knicks or Lakers?
I don't think that factors to us.
Okay.
I think that with where our organization is at, we could, I mean, and maybe I'm being foolish here, but I think that we could convince any big free agent to stay after playing a season here.
That's hard to argue against.
I mean, don't know.
We looked great.
I don't know where you'd have a better shot except for, you know, like the big, big spots. Here's my thing is I think with Kawhi more than likely staying, KD, not really open on the market in the same way that he was before, yeah. except for very specific scenarios. I think that this reopens the AD doors for not necessarily the Clippers, but for all other teams
Ooh.
In a way that I think was kind of closed before.
Because he is the kind of, when you think about it, he's the number one option right now. Because he's the only guy who for sure wants a new team that we know of 100%.
Yeah. I mean, I think that like this pours gasoline all over the AD trade fire. And
someone just brought up a good point. I wouldn't trust Clutch Sports. I'm kind of with you on that one. I just don't like it. There's meddling. There's a Rich Paul talking to Adam Silver at dinner. It's like, come on, man. We know the players are important. We know it's a star-driven league, but the Clippers don't want any part of that stuff.
Yeah. So I think that that's going to push more teams to kind of open up the coffers and offer whatever they can. I just don't think that we're in that conversation.
Yeah.
I think the Nets are a really big possibility. We're not willing to part with Shea, and I would be pretty surprised if we parted with Sham.
Our backcourt is like theoretically set for the next 3 or 4 years before we got to think about giving these guys new contracts.
Yeah. So maybe if incredible. There was like some combination of Gallo, who is an all-star, technically
true. Technically right is the best kind of right.
So Gallo, Sham, the Miami pick and the Philly pick, maybe. I just don't think that's enough to grease the wheels if you're New Orleans.
That's what I'm saying. I think this offer that he put out is like, this is the bare minimum you can give.
Yes, for sure.
Like, this is it.
For sure.
One more question in this segment from @StepbackTree. He and I were conversing earlier. Who the heck is replacing Ralph Lawler? I think I have to assume Brian Seaman, right?
I don't know. I can give you my phone number if Hollywood's watching this stream.
Someone's saying Jerome for the 10th pick from ATL for Sekou. I don't know. I don't really want to trade Jerome. I don't think anyone would trade the 10th pick for Jerome. He might be better than the 10th pick in this draft, but
somebody's saying small market teams feel more comfortable with 1 year rentals. I do not know. That's an interesting perspective in that you can really cater things there. I think that obviously with Paul George, like it definitely bolsters the market for small teams a little bit better. I still think it's a risky gamble to give up a lot for a player who clearly wants to go to LA or something.
Yeah. Guys, coming up after this, we're going to be doing a couple more questions. We're going to be talking about the Rico Hines private run that went down today.
All right.
Want to give a shout out to the Himalaya app. Fantastic podcast hosting app. We are all on there. Rate us on there. Subscribe to us. Check out all the other Locked On podcast networks as well. Shout out to Locked On Rams. All right. So let's talk about, did you watch that footage of the Rico Hines run?
No.
Guys are looking good.
All right.
You know, for mid-season playing, I would say. Today it was Lou, Trez, Shea, Sendarius, and Shamit with a bunch of other random dudes.
Uh-huh.
Funny aspect about this, Trez was on a team with all randoms. Everyone else, I think, was on the same team. But that seems like a thing where Trez was like, give me all the scrubs.
Yeah, give me these give me these five guys.
Yeah, and we'll win. Trez has seemed lost.
Four guys, but...
We trying to get in on this run?
oh, man.
You know. Oh, yeah, Motley was out there, too. Thank you, Matt Chong, for bringing that up.
Who? I'm worried about my calf strength. But...
Who else do you think should maybe be out there running with the team? I'm not saying not, you know, I'm assuming everyone else is working out.
Gallo,
you want out there? I want to see Zubats out there too.
Oh, yeah. I'd like to see Zoo working out with the team, especially if we're interested in keeping him. Magruder, love to see it.
Oh, man. That would be nice. I like that the guys are getting together. I love this mix of, it's so awesome to see Lou out there.
Definitely.
With Shea and Sham. Sendarius, I don't know if it's because he was playing worse guys, but the confidence in his handle, it looked good.
Oh, nice. That's great. Handle, I'll have to check out the footage. I haven't gotten a chance.
Yeah, his
yet.
Handle looked good.
Oh, Zoo was there. Not playing.
Just
though.
Chilling. Interesting. All right, well, play next time, Zoo. Anyone who can get us into this Rico Hines run, let us know. Someone said they want to see Kawhi out there. Yeah, I would like to see that too. We got another question from Clipper Mitch. This one is interesting. If we can't get Kawhi,
uh-huh.
Should the team bring Tobias back and maybe add Jimmy Butler? I don't think Clay leaves either, so not many options left. I will agree with the point. It doesn't seem like there's many top-tier options left. But
so
I don't want Jimmy Butler.
If the Warriors end up keeping Durant, like I would assume they'll do, unless some other team makes the all or nothing offer that I mentioned earlier in the podcast. What they do gets really interesting.
Yes.
Because they have KD. Like, even if they don't re-sign him, he still has a player option for 30 mil, which I don't know why he would turn down at this point.
Unless he really believes himself that much.
or somebody offers him a long-term contract with, like, blah, and he can trade himself or whatever.
dude, a self-trade clause?
Yeah.
That would be tight. Okay, I like the self-trade clause.
Then, you know, they have some interesting things to figure out. Obviously, they have to re-sign Clay. Maybe you can say that money isn't an option, and maybe it truly isn't, but you're looking at, like, it's just a lot of money.
$200 million contract at some point.
Yeah, it's just a lot of money. And then, so I don't know if, I think they retain Clay. Maybe they try to trade Draymond. I don't know. I think something really interesting could happen there.
Yeah.
I, however, don't think that we're out of options. I know that we've been, like, having this kind of, like, big game hunting mentality all year. It's been really nice to feel like a part of these conversations. But there's a lot of...
Those feel gone now, also.
Yeah, there's a lot of other moves that we could make to, like, strengthen this team. And sure, maybe we don't get, like, the huge marquee name free agent, but we could still come back better than we were last year, which is still pretty damn good.
And we're still in the grand scheme of the plan or whatever this front office has. We are ahead of schedule.
We are very ahead of schedule. Shea and Sham are both so far ahead of schedule. We don't know what these guys are going to look like.
Trez is ahead of schedule.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is like, if it doesn't happen this season, you know, we just still have to be patient. And, you know, if KD does end up taking that player option, he's got one more year.
Are you guys officially hired from the Clippers? No, but if you would like to start a viral campaign to get us hired, it is at Charles Mockler, at Will Uptake.
And, you know, get at them.
We're politely. Available. Guys, that about wraps it up for us.
Oh, but I don't think that we keep Tobias. Sorry, I didn't answer the question.
I don't think it's legal to sign Tobias either.
I think that we could figure it out.
we got lawyers to figure this shit out.
I liked Tobias. I just think he's not a max guy.
That 4
especially,
for 80,
especially,
like,
not for us. In a different organization, maybe it would work better, but it's not for us. Jimmy Butler's too old.
Guys, also too old, also not a chill dude, it seems like. That about wraps it up for us. Want to give a quick shout-out to Grip 6 Belts and Untucked Shirts. Buy your slob father some new clothes Father's Day. Here's what your dad wants. He wants a Grip 6 belt. He wants an Untucked Shirt. Ice-cold couple of beers.
Definitely.
Maybe just have a catch with him. Just have a catch on Father's Day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Why not?
One more time. Untucked
Shirts. Or Frizz, if he's like more of a granola kind of dude.
Chill as hell. And then Grip 6 Belts. We got some Love, Marry, Kill on Friday. We're probably going to be talking some draft prospects. We've ran through the whole team. We're going to be grading Doc Rivers' season. I think you can kind of assume what grade we're going to give him right now.
Yeah.
Check us out on the Himalaya app. Check us on iTunes. Rate, subscribe. Follow us at Locked On Clippers, only a couple followers away from 1,000.
Hey, way to go, guys.
I have been positive, Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Uptike. Thanks so much for listening.